Jimmy talk to you about doing the offering in the last song?
I can do it.
Okay, we'll do that. All right. All right, yeah, kiddos, head down for Rock Kids, and again, good morning. Some of you are just straggling in here during the worship time, so again, welcome to Ledge Rock, and glad that that each of you are here, and so we will help me remember to take up the offering during the final and closing song here this morning. So who can count to nearly 10? Anybody? How many H's do we have up there today? Could pastor have really added another H to the mix? The answer is yes. Yes, I can. And so I probably should have talked to Brother Rob about this ahead of time. But since no one guessed last week and Pastor Jimmy was offering up $50, Brother Rob is offering $100 today for anyone that can guess the new H. So yeah, I should have mentioned this ahead of time, but he's good for it. Who wants to take a stab at earning $100? What's the new H? The very congratulations. See Rob after worship for the 100. First guess. Nobody guessed it last week, Rob. I guarantee it. Nobody, but they were waiting for the $100 pot, I guess. So, good job. Anyway, yeah, humble today. We're gonna learn about humility and humbleness. Today, so for those of you that might be just joining us for the first time, or maybe you slept through most of last week's message, I'll update you a little bit on what we're doing. A couple weeks ago, we sort of started this little, I'm going to call it a mini-series, if you will, that had six H's in it, and we learned that day how to have a happy, humble, I'm sorry, no, happy, holy, healthy, gosh. There's way too many H's. Maybe I better stop after today. a happy, healthy, and holy heart. That's what we learned several weeks ago. Happy, healthy, and a holy heart. And last week, we learned how to add harmony to that as we learned that we're part of the body of Christ. But starting out, we looked at Psalm 100, and the key to having a healthy, happy, and holy heart is really just recognizing that God is God and that we are His creation. And we'll talk more about that later on as we sort of explore and recap today where we've come over these last couple of weeks. But the bottom line to all of us truly having a healthy heart and a holy heart before a holy and perfect God is really boiled down to displaying the characteristics of Christ. Now, don't answer this out loud, but do you ever have difficulty with that? Is it ever hard in life, especially life today, to display the characteristics of Christ? Boy, all the time, every part of our life, everywhere we go, I think all of us would agree we have difficulty, maybe a lot of the time, displaying the characteristics of Christ. In fact, Scripture goes on and it says that we're told to love God above everything else in existence. Love God more than anything. Do we ever struggle with that one? Or we're even told to love our enemies, pray for those that have hurt us and persecute us. Ever have trouble with that one? Forgiving those that have wronged us. We're told that we're part of this bigger body, this body of Christ. We're told that in this body we're called to serve and love and to be unified, to work together as part of this body, to put other people's needs first. Do we ever struggle with that one? We're told that Jesus is the light of the world, and then now as the church, the body, with the presence of Jesus inside us, that we are now the light of the world. And you and I are told in Scripture that we're supposed to shine that light, the light of Jesus in the darkness. Is that difficult? Do we ever struggle? We're told in Scripture to repent of our sin, to turn away from our ugliness, our sin before this perfect and holy God. And we're told to trust in God and God alone, never ourselves. Do we struggle with that one? Is that a difficult one? Well, how do we do these things? We know that Scripture teaches these things. We've gone over them for years here together, that you and I, part of the body of Christ, disciples and followers of Jesus, that we're to be different. Boy, very different, in fact, than the world. And how do we do it? How do we go about it? Well, number one, absolutely, is the very presence of the Holy Spirit inside us. That's number one. We can absolutely never discount that. Assuming you are born again, you now have the God of the universe inside you. But then God, in his gentle nature, still leaves a lot up to us, our behavior, the things that we do and things that we think about. So how do we demonstrate these characteristics of Christ and all these things that we've just talked about today? Well, I believe that humility is absolutely essential. I believe that humbleness is the key to so many of these different things. It's essential for everything. It's the foundation for our behavior in the body and outside in the community and all over the world. Humility is essential. Well, today we're going to be in the book of James, James chapter 4. Today chapter 4 is the one that comes right after chapter 3. Good job. You guys are right there with me today. James is super neat. One, I just love the backstory of James. James is the half-brother, was the half-brother of Jesus. And from what we can tell from Scripture, James was not a believer during Jesus' life. It wasn't until James met the resurrected Lord Jesus that he was suddenly changed and became a believer and a follower of Jesus. And then later, James became the pastor of First Baptist Jerusalem. Super cool. Well, James wrote this letter that we're going to dive into. We're going to take a tiny look at this book of James here today. And it's interesting because James, one of the reasons that I really appreciate it is it's absolutely to the point. James doesn't beat around the bush. There's no subliminal messages within the book of James. It's called the Proverbs of the New Testament. Many of us can appreciate and like that because it's just how we're supposed to live as born-again believers, as disciples of Jesus here in our lives today. Interesting. He wrote this book primarily to the Jews that were persecuted and scattered abroad, dispersed, the diaspora, all around really the whole world, on how it is you're to carry out your faith no matter where you're at. Interesting, but boy, there's so much that you and I can learn and glean from this today. The Proverbs of the New Testament. Well, today, James chapter 4, picking up in verse 6, we're kind of jumping into this thought. Well, let me set the stage a little more. You got to understand what's happening in the first five verses ahead of this. Really, James is contrasting the world and the worldview versus Christianity and the view of life through the lens of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. And so he's contrasting friendship with the world and being a humble servant of Jesus. And so now we pick up in verse 6. And the scripture says, "But he," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "he gives greater grace. Therefore," he says, quoting the Old Testament, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Pray with me. Oh, most gracious, loving, and merciful Heavenly Father, we bow our heads this morning with joy in our hearts as we're gathered in this place to praise and worship you. And Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your word to us. I thank you for this message from your word that you have given to me. And Lord, I pray that you take it, your truth, Lord, that you would speak through me this morning boldly and clearly. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you open up each of our hearts and our minds to better and more clearly understand you and who you are. Boy, what you've done for us, and then what it is that we're to do for you. So Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And the whole church said, amen. So the idea behind today's message is that we can learn how to have a healthy, happy, holy, and harmonious heart, but also, and maybe even more importantly, a humble heart. That's what we'll learn from this passage of Scripture today. The first question that we need to ask, I mean, this is like the root to all of this, is why humility? Why is being humble so important in our lives? If pastor said that humility is really the foundation for like everything else that we do as believers, it's what we build our very lives upon as we follow Jesus, then why is that so important? Well, I believe that verse 6 addresses this. And remember, as I quickly addressed what was happening in the first 5 verses, that James was taking time to really contrast life in the world versus life as a follower of Jesus. He then picks up and he says, but he gives greater grace, meaning that he will give grace to those that are seeking after him with their whole hearts and desiring to display the characteristics of Christ in their lives, that we don't have to be trapped in that old life and being attached to the world. We can be given God's grace and therefore be forgiven and made new and then explore this new life of following Jesus. He says, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So who does God give his grace to, his saving grace? It's to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Man, you've heard me say it before. We talk about it all the time, and it's so important. Boy, is Christianity opposite of the world. Have you noticed that? What the world celebrates as good, I mean, strength and power and control and all of that, Christianity says, yeah, no. You don't need any of that. In fact, our model, our super model, the guy that we follow and model our life after was so different than the world. Man, did he turn things upside down when Jesus came? Religion and organization and all of that stuff. Christianity and the world are opposite of each other. It's one of the things that really drives my faith, is knowing that Christianity could not be man-made, because it just doesn't agree with anything that we think in our own fleshly hearts or what we're taught is good. Jesus is so different. You see, he came as the king, the king, but he came as a servant king, not a conquering king with a sword, but instead Jesus modeled meekness for us. Meekness just means strength under control. Jesus modeled humility. Before our very eyes, he modeled patience and gentleness, and I mean all the things that we're supposed to do. We understand in reading Scripture, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We know that pride is a sin. All of us can see that. We would agree with that. In fact, I would say that pride is the root of all sin. Sin is basically, in its most rudimentary form, just simply rebellion against God. Any way, any shape, anyhow, rebellion against the perfect God. And we rebel because we want what we want more than what God wants. So pride, therefore, is the root of all sin. It's valuing self. It's valuing ourselves and choosing ourself over what we know to be right in God. Pride inhibits the need for God. The more we think of ourselves, the less we see the greatness, the glory, and our desperate hunger and need for this good and righteous God. Pride gets in the way of that. Pride gets in the way of our relationship, and therefore God resists the proud as we are choosing to resist him and his goodness and his ever-present grace and mercy. Pride is the opposite of humility, polar opposite. With the definition of humility is the personal quality of being free from arrogance and pride and having an accurate estimate of one's worth. Let me read that again, that maybe we'll grasp this on a deeper level and allow the Spirit to convict us when maybe we're acting in a prideful way. The definition of pride is the personal quality of being free from arrogance and pride, and then having an accurate estimate of one's worth. Remember, we talked about Humility does not mean thinking too little of yourself, but it's certainly not thinking too much of yourself. We're told that God gives greater grace. He gives us grace to be able to live this way because he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Pride affects our relationships in so many ways. First of all, pride definitely affects our relationship with God. We're establishing that now, that pride is the opposite of God and his characteristics, and God resists pride. So definitely our pride, our choosing self, inhibits our relationship, in fact, even stops our relationship with God. But boy, doesn't pride also affect our own personal relationships with each other? Pride gets in the way of so many things. If you have a friend or a coworker or someone at church or whatever that consistently chooses themselves over you and everyone else, that their way and all their thoughts are more important, you don't want to hang around a person like that. Pride is a sin. It's the root of all sin, and it definitely messes up and just simply crushes relationships with God and with others. Quarrels begin from selfish motives, bickering and gossip and division. These things are absolutely never a result of humility. They're always a result of selfish pride. Every time. So what the Lord wants, here's your quote for the day. If you like to take notes, and I hope you do, here's your quote for the day. What the Lord wants from us is not our words or our actions, but what the Lord wants is a gentle and humble heart. Let me say that one more time. This is a big one. What the Lord wants from us is not our words and our actions, but instead a gentle and a humble heart. Because the truth is, our words and our actions come from our heart. They come from our heart. In fact, Jesus taught that out of our mouths comes the overflow of our heart. If you want to know where a person's heart is, just simply listen to their speech. Listen to what they talk about and how they choose to talk and how they speak and interact with other people, and you'll absolutely get a glimpse, a window directly into their heart. God doesn't want our words and our actions. He wants our hearts to be pure before him, to be humble before him and others. And out of that pure, beautiful, gentle, graceful, humble heart comes wonderful words of grace and love and mercy, and then actions of service and obedience, actions of humility. So you might be here this morning and you're saying, wow, okay, I get it. I got it. Enough said. My toes hurt. I got it. So now how do we be humble? Like, Pastor, I hear you. I want to be humble, but how do we do that? How do I become even more humble? Glad that you asked. Let's continue with Scripture and see what the Word of God tells us. Verse 7, he says, therefore, so because God resists the proud, and because God gives grace to the humble, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Sounds kind of simple, actually. Submit to God and resist the devil. And boy, good things will happen. Submit to God. Let's talk about that for a minute. That one is also key and crucial and essential. Submit means to surrender. Remember the song, I Surrender All? Did you grow up in church singing that one? Part of an invitation? Submit and surrender. Yield control of your life over to the Lord. Cry uncle. Did you have an older sibling that held you down and made you cry uncle? That's what God wants us to do to him, although he's not pinning us down. Instead, he's giving us a hand up and showing his love. Raise the white flag. Surrender. Submit. Yield, raise up that right flag, white flag, and say, I give up. I give up and I give in. Cry out to Jesus from our heart. Out of the pain and agony of the old self, the old ways of pride, cry out and say, oh God, I don't want that old way anymore. Make me new. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Let me turn to you and trust in you. Turn to and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then he will give us a new heart, and he will forgive us of our sin and allow us to grow in mighty ways in him. So what does that look like in life? Really, it comes down to, in every situation, stop a second, just a split second, and choose what you're about to say, how you're about to respond to someone, or type that email, or send that text, or whatever, and say, am I speaking like God, or am I speaking for myself? Am I thinking God, or am I thinking self? Just stop a second and choose God, choose his ways, choose to not choose self, choose to turn away from self and turn to and trust in God in all things. And I mean, that's so many things, so many areas of life. We'll probably talk more about that in a minute. Choose him and not self, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that encouraging? That if you just resist him, he'll flee. I know, boy, a lot of us, you and I have talked during the week at different times, and you've shared or I've shared, man, rough week. I feel like I'm under spiritual attack. There's difficult things going on. You know, someone that I love turned and just snapped at me and really hurt my heart. And I feel like the devil is just all over this. God's word says, resist the devil and then he will flee from you. As we submit to God, we can resist the devil easier. I believe that the devil is absolutely behind our prideful actions that cause such pain and hurt and even division in the body, in our families, and all around even the world. The devil is behind that because he says you are more important than that other person. Oh, they've hurt you. Say those things. Type it. Type it out and hit send quick because they deserve it. It's not God, it's the devil. Submit to God, but resist the devil. And then God's word promises that he will flee from us. When we are so encapsulated with the very presence of God, the devil can't penetrate that. It's when we allow a chink in our armor of God that the devil finds those very easily. And he slips in first and foremost with pride. The Bible says resist that, and boy, it's gonna not be as evident and present in your life. Submit to God and resist the devil. Turn away from self and sin, and that means repent, truly turn away. The Greek means to burn that, burn the old way, burn that house, and then walk away, never to return back to it. As you do, it gets easier and easier to follow God, to love God. And the devil gets further and further away, and God just gets closer and closer. Look at the next verse, the beginning of it. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Talk about some encouraging stuff. Submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil's going to be gone. Draw near to God, and that God will be right there. God will draw near to you. Now, I believe this is just a way of wording, because God doesn't change. He's always there, ever constant. He's the rock, and we are the ones that get away from him. We get near to him, and it will just appear as though he's come closer. Really, he didn't move. We're just the ones getting closer back to him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. That means to devote your time and your talent and even your tithe, since it's another T. We can just rhyme them, our time, our talent, our tithe. Jimmy says our treasures. Devote those to God. That's the treasure in our heart. That's what we value, our time, our talent, our treasures, our gifts and offerings. Devote those things. Dedicate them to the Lord. Our thoughts, there's another T. Our thoughts, dedicate and devote our thoughts over to the Lord in our actions. And then continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. We have what we call life groups. I talked about them briefly in the introduction this morning. Life groups are way more than just a small group or a home group. They are truly a life group to do life together. When you're hurting and you need strength and encouragement, the life group is front line for that. you need a meal after a surgery or sickness or whatever, the life group is front line first and foremost, and then it's the rest of us as the body. We can help fill in the gaps, but we need each other. We're so much better together. Ecclesiastes talking about a cord of three strands is not easily broken. What about a cord of a couple hundred strands? The devil can never penetrate that. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We do that one way in life groups and Bible studies and after worship fellowship and other Bible studies and things like that, doing life together. That's why we think that building relationships is so critical, because we are so much better together. The Lord and his voice will be so much louder and clearer in each of our lives if we draw near to God. We can hear him even better. Continue to look at this passage. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As we get a better glimpse of who our holy, perfect God is, we begin to see in a clearer light our own sin, our own life, our own areas of pride that we've struggled with letting go of. And that realization of our sin, especially in light of such a glorious and majestic God, should cause us to look at our sin and the ugliness that it is. It should drive us to truly repent, to cleanse our hands, to wash our hands of that old way, our sinners, and purify our hearts. I especially like that. You double-minded, James says. That's that division between the world and Christianity, and what a divide it is. He says, if you're still caught in the middle and your heart and your mind are struggling which way to go, repent of that. Turn over to God. Cleanse your hands. You sinners, repent and turn and walk away. It's crazy and cool, but it's so neat how God works. And I love that part about the devil getting further and further away from us. Pride gone and humility here. Look at the next verse. Verse 9, he says, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Does that mean that God is telling us he wants us to be miserable? That he wants us to be sad and downcast? Well, wait a minute. What else do we know about God? We know that God is love, and that his fruit that lives inside us through the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness. We know that's the evidence of the Spirit inside us. What he wants is for us to be sick and mournful over our sin, so much so that it draws us nearer to God. And as we do, those other things, those sins are so far removed that rebellion against God has made us sick, and we now are far from it, because God's goodness is greater than our own self and our own desires. Look at verse 10, the last verse. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Have you ever heard me say that the world and Christianity are different? Have I ever said that one? The world and the kingdom of God are so opposite. They're so opposed to each other. Everything in the kingdom, what Jesus came and taught, he literally turned everything upside down as he spoke about the kingdom. Because see, in the kingdom of God, things are backwards. Those that are first here will be last in the kingdom of God. And those that are last here will be first in the kingdom of God. Those that want to be exalted now will be brought low and humbled in the kingdom of God. And those that are humbled now will be exalted in the kingdom of God. Everything is different with Christianity and the world. So in the real world, like day to day, we leave here today, we might want to know, what does this look like in our lives? Well, I like practical application. I want each of us to know how it is that we're to like do this. Well, I'm going to read to you. I want you to just sit. Don't even turn in your Bibles. I want you to sit and listen as I read God's word to you from the book of Philippians chapter 2. If you take notes, you can write down, we're going to read 3 and 4, but then we're going to read 5 through 10. But I really want you to just sit and listen and let this soak in as each of us tries to better grasp what it looks like in our own lives, day in and day out, to turn away from pride, to surrender to humility. Verse 3, well, God's words, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It just kind of sums it up, doesn't it? It just kind of helps us. It's really a choice in each action we make, in each thought and decision that we make. Are we going to choose self, or are we going to choose God? I'm going to read the next few verses, and this is some of the greatest stuff in all of God's Word. Verse 5 says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Here's our example for us to live by and follow. Verse 6 says, who, speaking of Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by becoming the form of a servant and taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Now remember, I said that the world and God's kingdom are opposite, that those that are humble here will be exalted, and those that are exalted here will be humbled. We'll look at Jesus's demonstration of humility for us, and look at what happens in verse 9. For this reason, because of Jesus's perfect humility, his obedience, even to the point of Roman crucifixion. Verse 9 says, for this reason, God has now highly exalted him. And he has given him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And one day, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here's the deal, here's the summation, if you will, is I believe that you and I, we carry around way too heavy of a heart, way too often, because we're concerned about so many things all around us. And I believe that God's Word is teaching you and I how it is truly that we can have a happy heart, a joyful heart, a holy heart, and a healthy heart. As we see God in His glory, we see us as His creation. We're not even our own, we're His. Then we learn how to be harmonious as we follow the characteristics of Jesus. And today we learn how to be humble as we draw near to God and turn away from self and selfishness. I believe that in this, guys, I truly believe that we are set free from the burdens that drag us down, and in this we can be made new and enjoy life in an even greater degree. Oh, pray with me. Father in heaven, we love you. Oh Lord, we love you because you don't keep us the same. That as we submit to you and turn our life over to you, as you cleanse us of our sins, that you make us new creatures and new creations. And Lord, I thank you for your word and how it speaks so clearly to us that we don't have to live in pride and then heaviness of heart, but we can live in humility and then consequently in joy and, boy, in happiness and holiness. Lord, boy, help each one of us to turn over that area of our life that has been weighing us down and dragging us down for far too long. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the devil truly would flee from us, from this body of Christ, from our community, and that everyone all around us will see the glory, your glory, in us and through us. And so, Lord, continue to mold us to be like Jesus. Forgive us for our sin. the ways we've rebelled against you and chosen self. And Lord, again, boy, bless this congregation, bless this week, and may we make an impact for you and your kingdom. Oh, Lord, that you are highly exalted. Father, we love you. We praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.